Cost of the war, and Keynes wrote a famous article called How to Pay for the War. And in this article on how to pay for the war, he developed the system of national accounts. And the system of national accounts essentially is like an accounting process where economists and often accountants come together and say, you know, how much does government spend? What is total consumption in the economy? What are major sources of income? How much of income comes from our salaries and wages? How much of income comes from rent, interest that we may earn, and so on? So the tourism satellite account derives its origin from the system of macroeconomic, or what we call the national account. So when we give you the GDP number, what the growth of the economy is based on the system of national account. Tourism satellite account is an attempt to build on the system of national account and give you additional data. So this is essentially why we call it. We have to rely on the structure of the economy as derived from the national account to calculate what the contribution of the tourism industry is. Now, the question you may ask is, why is it that you need a satellite account to measure the contribution of tourism to the economy versus measuring the mining industry, where you don't need a satellite account? To measure the contribution of the mining industry, we just get what production or value added is of the mining industry. And it has to do with the fact that the nature of the tourism industry is very different. It's not one industry, it's a multiplicity of industries. It's generic, it draws on all different parts of the economy. Because of this nature of the industry, we have to measure it in a more complex way. The same goes for if you have to measure the environment in the economy. Because the environment is all-encompassing, we have to measure it a particular way. In many countries, they measure the contribution of ICT, the information technology, to the economy. So it's really in that sense that we measure it. Now, you may sit here in 2010 and say, you know, what is the meaning of giving us a tourism satellite account and contribution for 2005? And I'll explain why this takes a long time to get, and why I think today the numbers may not be dramatically different. So what I will attempt to do is explain some important concepts, and I'm happy to kind of take you through the concept if they seem a bit obscure. There are a few important concepts and definitions that we try to sort out in trying to measure the accounts. We try to determine whether you're a tourist, a visitor, whether you're a Arabican resident or not, and these are the important things that we bear in mind. My colleague Rian Krobler, who really does the hard work, will be able to answer some of the more technical questions around this. We distinguish between three kinds of tourism. One is foreign tourists coming into South Africa and spending money on tourism activities. The second is South African tourists spending in South Africa, which we call foreign tourists or inbound tourists. South African tourists we call domestic tourists. And they're outbound tourists. These are South Africans who spend abroad. So it's the three categories. And the basis of our measurement is really the contribution of foreign tourists and domestic tourism to the domestic tourism industry. That's really what we're trying to measure. There are some important issues that we take on board in the way we measure the tourism industry. So let me give an example. A person traveling outside of the usual environment for more than one day, but not more than a year, and the person is not remunerated at the destination, is called a tourist. So, for example, if you're living in down the road and you go and spend a night in a hotel, we wouldn't consider you a tourist. When we look at the numbers around accommodation and so on, we factor these in. We have to make some assumptions, and I'll talk a bit about these assumptions. These are two slides that actually aren't particularly relevant, but just to give you a feel of the fact that there's a long process. How did we come to estimate the contribution of the tourism industry? There were estimates that exist. There's a world organization called the World Tourism Council that did its first estimate of the contribution of the tourism industry. we as the official agency did our first estimate in 2000, based on the 2005 numbers. So this process took incredibly long to come to a number, to say that the contribution of tourism in 2005 is this, requires a host of complex processes that needs to be followed, and that's the nature of statistical measurement. You know, firstly, you rely on a series of surveys. The quality of the tourism satellite account is as good as the source data that goes into the survey. So, for example, Statistics South Africa does a general household survey which goes to households and asks households, how much do you spend on tourism? You know, where did you go as a tourist? How much was domestic and so on? So, you know, these surveys are very expensive, so typically we have to kind of, they're not done too frequently, although this is done annually. Then, you know, we rely on a whole variety of other sources that may exist in the country, but to do this, we have a quality standard. For us to officially pronounce it as official data, it has to meet certain criteria. So we take an enormous time to do that. There's been a whole variety of changes in our tourism and migration release. So, and then we have to standardize concepts. So there's a process one has to follow to get this process. I'm not going to talk much about process, but we had a launch on the tourism satellite account. Was it last year? Last year, and that's when we officially gave the numbers for the first time. We're now coming to you almost to the post-mortem of the process and what happened. Now, you can't see this slide very well, but essentially it kind of breaks down the different elements that people measure in the tourism satellite account. So, you know, distinguishing between a variety of accounts. A very interesting construct of the way we measure the economy is that to have confidence in the GDP, we often measure it in two or three sides. I'll give an example. We say we measure the GDP from the production side, and we measure it from the expenditure side. So, for example, we'll go to you as a household and say, how much have you spent on consumption of food? And then we'll measure that against what data we collected on the production side. We go to firms and say, how much have you produced? How much food have you produced in the country? How much has been exported and how much is imported? So we collect information from two sides to have more confidence in a number. And this applies, you know, to tourism too. There's a number of ways in which one can measure tourism. In this particular analysis, we basically look at what we call the supply side of the economy. And so we give you some numbers on the supply side of the economy, and we also give you some numbers on employment. So the two critical variables for this purpose is we'll tell you what tourism contributes to the value added. Remember that we use a measure of value added rather than sales because we want to avoid double counting. We want to know what is the actual value that is generated by the activity. So there are a number of factors that feed into our measure of what is tourism. And this is, there are visitors, there are non-visitors. A non-visitor could be a Zimbabwean, coming over the border and buying groceries. Technically, they're part of the a foreigner buying in our country. So we distinguish between that. We also distinguish between what we call the tourism industry and the non-tourism industry. For example, we would say that accommodation is by and large a tourism industry. We say retail is not by and large a tourism industry. We've got to separate the difference between what you buy in your local retail store versus what a tourist buys in a retail store. So that is what we call a non-tourism industry but has tourism-related activity. As you can see, you know, it becomes exceedingly complex to measure. On the basis of all these critical assumptions, we then give you what the contribution of value added of tourism is to the industry. Now, we have few numbers which in their own right, I would say, don't make sense at the moment because you're not measuring against something relevant. But, you know, we've calculated the flows of tourism expenditure, you know, the inbound tourists, the domestic tourists, And it's quite interesting to see that if you look at the expenditure of inbound tourists for 2005, you're talking about 51 billion for domestic tourists, you're talking about 54 billion. This is very important because what has been central to the development strategy of many small countries has been this growing dependence on the tourism industry as opposed to what historically was their main source of revenue, which was the agricultural industry. But one of the biggest problems about this growing dependence on this tourism industry is that because, if you take a country like Mauritius, because 90% or 95% of your tourism comes from foreign tourists, you're highly vulnerable to fluctuations in the global economy. There's a terror threat, if there's a political unrest in the country, suddenly foreign tourists are coming. What's interesting about the South African economy is that the bedrock of the tourism industry is both domestic and foreign, and that's a really nice position to be in, that there's a possibility of making more investment in the industry because you're less vulnerable to fluctuation in one side of tourism, that is foreign inbound tourism in the economy. I think that's a very important policy issue when we plan and think about tourism in the economy. Now, our 2005 figures show that 527,000 people, about that, are employed in the industry, and this is what we call direct, not the indirect contribution. Later on, you'll be able to compare this number with other industries to see how it's there. Now, forget the semantics. I would say there are two important things to remember here. The contribution of tourism to the economy is 3%. Tourism value added to the economy, 3%, and tourism's contribution to total employment in the economy is 4%. These are we have a few different numbers because we take away tax and so on, but for purposes here, contribution 3%, employment 4%, over 4%. These are the key results. We've never had an official measure of tourism until we did this process. For the first time, we came to the conclusion. Now, you may think it's an exaggeration, or you may think it's an underestimate. We can get into that, and we can discuss that. Now, we were comforted by our number, because our number of 3% was measured independently of the number of the World Tourism Council. The World Tourism Council estimates that the contribution of the tourism industry in South Africa is 3.29%. We estimate it's 3%. What we can tell you is that the World Tourism Council relies very heavily on more modeling assumptions, whereas we rely on hard data. Data has problems, but it does tell you that that's the ballpark. It tells you we're not at 6%, we're not at 2%, we're around that ballpark. You know, as we say, within that confidence interval. You know, you've got to factor in a bit of noise in the data. You've got to factor in uneven data. But more or less, that's what we're talking about. What that means, we can. So it's quite interesting that our estimate of employment was slightly higher than that of the World Tourism Council, and our estimate of value added was slightly lower. The fact of the matter is, they don't make much of a big difference. We're more or less in the same ballpark, and I think that is the critical message I want to give you, is that it's a qualitative message that a number gives you. Don't use the number literally. Say, you know, 3% gives me an indicator of the contribution of the industry. Maybe 2.9, maybe 3.2, but that's more or less, it definitely won't be 4.5, it definitely won't be 2. And I think it's important to bear that in mind. The nature of statistical measure is you can't get a real exact precise number. Now, this is, I think, where it gets a bit more interesting. So, if you compare, you will notice that if you compare value-added activity, the tourism industry is certainly bigger than construction, it's certainly bigger than agriculture, forestry, and fishing, and certainly bigger than electricity. Not as big as mining, not as big as some of the other sectors, certainly in value-added, but in employment, you realize that it's even bigger than mining. So it really becomes a potential contribution to dealing with part of the unemployment problem. It is playing an increasingly prominent role in contribution to employment. Similarly, when you look at the distribution of value added within the tourism industry, we can see which are some of the major factors that contribute to this. So, for example, you know, because of the massive flows of people coming in to buy retail goods in this country and so on, you can see retail trade is important for employment. But as far as value added is concerned, it's kind of spread across a series of industries and so on. But passenger transport, other non-tourism industries are also very, very important. Remember my definition of non-tourism is something that's not exclusively a tourist industry and so on. Now, this is another interesting issue for policy analysis. If you compare the contribution of South African tourism to our economy compared to tourism in the economies of other countries, you'll find that in Australia, tourism contributes 6% of their economy. In New Zealand, a bit lower. Austria. New Zealand a bit lower. In Australia, it's about just over 4%, and then South Africa goes further down. Now, there is no reason why tourism shouldn't be contributing 6-7% of this economy. It has all the comparative advantages that I know Victor would be more familiar with. But this is a very interesting policy issue. Why is it that we're not in the league of Austria or New Zealand? I'm sure that the committee in its future deliberations will say, what would it take for us to get to 6-7%? And we know that the employment multipliers are much greater, so can you imagine the potential of the industry? This was just to illustrate to you all the different theories that partly inform the satellite account, but partly to indicate to you there's an independent, continuous way in which we measure parts of the tourism industry. To present the satellite account is a big affair, but there are other indicators that this committee may want to follow. For example, Stats South Africa comes out with a monthly survey of tourism accommodation, and you will not be surprised if you compare, if I may just take the liberty of walking, if you compare July 2009 with July, June 2009 with June 10, you can see how income has grown, and we're all not surprised because of the World Cup. So you can see this massive growth, and you can track this through monthly indicators, and that's quite an important base on which the committee can have discussion. Now, this one seems a bit more muted than the previous one. This is a survey of food and beverages, and it doesn't show as a big an increase, partly because South Africans consume so much food and beverages itself, so it may be hidden in there. If you look at our tourism and migration statistics, which basically reports foreign arrivals, you don't see a massive. If you compare June and July this year with the 2010, you don't see a massive increase. You see an increase, but relative to last year June, you do see quite a massive increase. I think the message we're getting is that surely there were many more visitors that came, but it's not as dramatic as people thought it would be. Certainly, we're seeing it in some of the numbers, one has to be very careful about the actual impact. Okay, look, I thought I had a debate with my DDG colleague from tourism, and I have 31 slides, and I initially had 50 slides, and I thought I'm going to keep it at 21 and allow scope for discussion. Let me just end up with one message, and this is that what does it mean in 2010 to be discussing the 2005 contribution to the economy? Now, I've explained that one of the ways in which often most countries who do measure the contribution to tourism industry to the economy do this every 4 or 5 years because it's a big effort, requires lots of resources, requires lots of complementary data. What I could say is that that in 3 or 4 years you don't find a radical change in the industry. In other words, it may be that today the industry could have gone up, you know, 0.2 or 0.3%. So maybe, you know, our estimate is slightly outdated. You know, it may be 3.2% with the World Cup and so on. But the important issue is that to really feel the effect of tourism, you have to see this over a period of 4 to 5 years. So we will continuously be giving you at these intervals, measures of tourism. So the point I want to say is that, you know, don't be discouraged by the fact that the number is based on an 05 estimate. That we don't believe that the numbers could be radically different today, and we can have a discussion around that. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Then I think the second part. International
Thank you, Honorable Chen. I would try to avoid most of what has been said in terms of persecution. But essentially, our interest as a sector is that we should be in a position to determine the impact of what all these tourism activities are actually having on the economy of the country. So whereas if we were to look at it previously, we would have been looking at the actual activities that were taking place, what sort of visitors have we been receiving, and so on and so forth. Not that we have actually thrown away a whole host of those indicators. They're still very important. We need to know who wants to come to South Africa, why they want to come to South Africa, and so on and so forth. But we are saying that the tourism satellite account value for us is to be able to effectively account, even to the public, that this particular industry in inverted commas is actually making a contribution of this much to aspects such as jobs, to aspects such as the GDP. So those are the most significant aspects for us, for the GDP. Now, if we were to go into what is the other aspect which is of value, one most significant aspect is for us to be able to understand the actual contribution of tourism. Now, I want to bring in the reasons why we want to do that. If we were to decide in terms of where the money should go as a country, in terms of which industries should we be investing in and so on and so forth, if we do not have this particular information, it would actually not be meaningful at all to actually throw money into something. So once we understand exactly that there's a real investment case for tourism, and we can actually then present that particular case, in the case of government, to Treasury, but also we can present a very same case to the investors as well, we are able to actually demonstrate that indeed this is somewhere where we are supposed to be putting the resources as a sector and as a country. I'll keep this because I think Dr. Kassim has spoken to this. But I just want to say something about the issue of the data that we use. The data that we use comes from different sources. There shouldn't be a question whatsoever as to whether what actually came to South Africa in terms of the value add, as he alluded to. There shouldn't be any contestation whatsoever, because we know that every cent that is spent by people that come to South Africa, be they visitors broadly, whether those were actually tourists or they were non-tourists, but if they came into the country and they spent something, there was some form of forex exchange, that is recorded. So we do know that if we're talking about these figures in terms of amount, these figures are real. And that is something that we should just note. So it's something that we'll be able to then strengthen that very case that we're talking about. And the other aspect that Dr. Kassim was talking about is that if we were to look at the actual value in relation to tourism specifically, an example that we're debating that he was talking about is, If we were to walk into a particular supermarket and you are a tourist and you are going to buy certain goods from there, what they have accounted for has already excluded the manufacturing and so on. So if they are saying this is what has actually accrued to tourism, let's say for instance the goods were actually 100 rand, and they are saying that 100 rand was actually spent here, what they actually account for in this is not that 100 rand. It's either the 20 rand or the 40 rand, which is purely what was spent in relation to tourism. And the rest of what would have gone to whatever has happened in the process of manufacturing, that would go to the other sectors. So these figures are actually significant, and they actually demonstrate the case that we're talking about, that there is a real investment case for government in particular, that we can actually grow even bigger in terms of tourism. We will say within the presentation that we shared the previous time in terms of what are some of the challenges in terms of actually growing the thing to the right level. Now, what will we see when we have completed this? And these are things that we are really fully interested in. The GDP, of course, in terms of contribution. And here, obviously, we are talking about the direct. Of course, in future, we are looking at possibilities of also having our own models in the country. We're discussing that can allow us also to predict, but also to look at the trends in terms of the indirect contributions and so on. But we will try and avoid the double counting. We want to see the jobs. We want to see the investment, the contribution we're making to the revenue, the consumption broadly in terms of tourism, the impact in the balance of payments and so on. We know this is some sector that really is contributing significantly in terms of the balance of payments, because you're actually earning the foreign currency, you're earning it directly. And it really comes a little easier than the other sectors where you've got to go through forms of trade negotiations and go through all sorts of troubles to be able to get to this. But we are saying we do have our own troubles, and those troubles should also be significantly noted, because we do need to put a lot more money to be able to make this message get out. And that's why the Austrians and the Australians and so on are able to actually get a lot more than we're getting. They're investing a lot more than we are investing. And that's essentially the reality. Now, if we look at this picture, it tells us who actually plays here. Now, I must just emphasize something about Statistics South Africa's role. At the core of this is the independence and the integrity of the agency that is responsible for statistics. So we don't get involved in that. We are the end user. The minute we start getting involved, then it means there is no integrity in terms of these statistics we're talking about. So they are fully responsible, which is why they are actually here, to explain how they get to these figures and what they do about it and so on. South African tourism, whereas it's actually indicated that it is part of those that collect the data, the collection we're talking about here is totally different. There is a survey they conduct when people are exiting, just to actually get to some level of understanding of the spending patterns and so on. It's not an official statistics that they are actually collecting and processing and so on. But when you look at what they come out with in their survey, and you look at what Statistics South Africa has got on the side, and they also at the end go to Statistics South Africa and say, look at this and tell us if we have actually approached this correctly in terms of methodologies and so on, it seems to have quite a lot of value. And that is what the industry likely has been dependent on, and they've been able to plan and actually grow as well. The Reserve Bank, for instance, if we're talking balance of payments and so on, they would have all this information about how much money actually came into the country, how much money actually left the country, and so on. So they are able to give them some level of confidence in the data. The Department of Home Affairs obviously gives us information in terms of who entered the country. This is a very crucial statistic, very, very crucial. And probably, I mean, the Honorable Chair and the Honorable Member, it might actually be even useful someday to even have the Department of Home Affairs also sharing how they actually collect the data itself, what sort of variables they look at, and so on and so forth. And it will enrich this particular discussion much better. The main users, obviously, is ourselves in this one. The GCI, of course, to drive the industry. Treasury, of course, in terms of decisions around investments and so on. And that also plays a part in terms of the taxes that are collected and those that are paid back to people that are actually exiting. So, in a nutshell, we are saying that we are going to be able to get measure of impact that whatever efforts we are putting is making in terms of the likes of jobs and the likes of economic growth and so on. But this at no point would substitute those output indicators that we've always had. The geographic spread and so on, those that drive the actual tourism strategy. But we're saying, ultimately, we must have an end in mind. And if we're not increasing jobs and we're not necessarily increasing GDP and so on, then it's a zero-sum game. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any additions to the presentations before we start deliberating? Mr. Homero? Okay. Honorable Krumbuk. Thank you, Chair. Clearly we've needed something like this for some time. Tourism has always been identified by the Minister, and indeed the President at the mega event summit that we attended in Sandton some months ago mentioned himself that we wanted tourism to be the driver of economic growth and job creation in our country. So having reliable statistics is quite vital if we're going to actually achieve those particular considerations or objectives in making sure that it does assume that type of role. So I was quite worried to hear that we're really only going to be looking at this every 5 years in terms of reliable statistics. Maybe I misheard, but I would have thought also in terms of the comments that were made, how, for example, Mauritius is so reliant on overseas tourism, and if something goes wrong with the world economy, they will then obviously take a very much bigger than average decline from that particular form of income. And to me, tourism is an immensely sensitive industry. It's not like mining or agriculture. Everybody's got to eat. You know, everybody's consuming. I mean, it's a discretionary income in many cases. You travel the world, and hopefully South Africa, if you have the spare cash, so if there's a recession, it has big slumps, and when there's a recovery, you have big recovery. So I would have thought up-to-date statistics are actually quite vital. Now, I mean, one of the things that this committee, I think, understood very well was that the 2010 World Cup actually was worth the expenditure because we could rebrand our country and attract a lot more people here, and the costs would actually pay for themselves fairly rapidly. Certainly, that's what I've been saying. So, I mean, I've been waiting for the August and September stats now, people arriving into the country with quite eager anticipation, because really, we're going to see within those 2 months after the World Cup exactly whether this tournament was worth it or not, from a tourism point of view at least, never mind the other nation-building intangibles. So I really would like to find out why we can't get up-to-date statistics fairly rapidly, because this is an industry that does require, I think, intense analysis, certainly requires far more funding than it's getting. But one can't motivate for 600 or 700 million and more for SA tourism unless you know what's actually happening. So, I mean, more than any other industry, this one would appear to need current statistics to enable us to engage effectively with what we need to engage with. And then just one problem I have on the actual numbers, Chairperson, the figure for direct contribution to GDP. I mean, I'm stunned to now see half of what we've been told previously. All the reports we've got in this committee over the last year and a bit, we were talking about 5.6%. Now it's 3. I mean, you know, last committee meeting we were told we've actually lost 2.5 million tourists because we've changed the definition. I mean, I find that incredible that we've had it wrong for so long. But now it appears it only contributes, well, a little bit more than half of what we've always been told it does. And I just want to make the point that it doesn't do one's confidence in planning going forward much good when you're never quite sure what stats you can rely on, and hopefully this is the last time we're going to find a massively different statistic to what we've always believed was a statistic we could actually plan around and have discussions around in this committee room and certainly construct strategies around. So maybe it could just be confirmed again. What happened to the other 2.5%? The 2.5% of GDP is a staggering amount of money. It really is a very, very big change. It's 40% of the contribution overnight. This day, 12th of October 2010, no longer exists. I mean, I don't know how many more shocks we can have like this. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I must say this is quite interesting, so complicated. On slide 16, you compare tourism. On slide 16. Yeah, this graph. You compare tourism. In particular, I want to refer to the comparison between tourism and mining. Yeah. Now, we've been getting statements from the department and also from wherever that now tourism has surpassed mining in terms of contribution towards the GDP in the country. That tourism is surpassing or has surpassed mining in terms of its contribution towards the GDP. Now, of course, this was 2005. I think this graph is representing the statistics for 2005. So I was wondering why, for instance, you did not think it necessary to show us, you know, what the situation is now in 2010, or it could have even been 2009, because this has been the case, I think, for more than a year now. Tourism contributing more than mining. Personally, I would be interested in that. In terms of checking as to how much statistically tourism is surpassing the mining industry. Now, secondly, I'm trying to understand how you get these statistics. I know it's complicated. I may not understand everything. But supposing I'm a tourist, and I've changed my dollars or my pounds into rand, and I get into it could be a supermarket or any other shop, and I do my buying, I buy, let's say, quite a lot as a tourist from that. I'm using the rand because I've changed my foreign exchange. My foreign currency. So I go just like any other South African who's been buying in that shop. All right, let's say there are many of us who have done that. Let's say in this very particular shop, for example. How do you then identify my expenditure as a tourist buying in Iran from the expenditure of an ordinary South African who actually lives in that very particular area, who's a non-tourist? You say, does it make sense? Thank you.
Well, the officials and DGs today are tourists to Cape Town. Domestic tourists, isn't it? So that's one of the contributing factors making Cape Town one of the leading destinations in South Africa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to understand from page 19, I want to understand when they say the survey of accommodation, do they mean only hotels or they include the guest houses?
Yeah, and if so, how do you capture the statistics? For now, let us have responses, and then let us go on with deliberations. The issue of currency, of the information, tourism and resource mining and
I'll start with question one as to the frequency of data. Any satellite account, specifically the tourism satellite account, has at its basis what is known as the supply and use table. The supply and use tables themselves are basically the cornerstone of the system management account, because it shows for you for a year all the goods and services that was produced within the country. And in the use table, it shows intermediate consumption and final consumption demand for these goods and services. And the big thing about the supply and use table is that it shows the economy in balance, meaning everything that is produced in the country is consumed in the country. So that is the basis for a tourism satellite account. And the reason why, when we published last year the first tourism satellite account, was that for South Africa, the most up-to-date recent supply and use table was for the recent year 2005. So meaning, we're not able to do TSA if there's not a corresponding supply and use table for that specific year. The good news is that last year, November, we published the benchmark and rebate national accounts for Africa, meaning that our base year has now moved from 2000 to 2005. So this coming Thursday, we will be publishing the final supply and use table for 2005, meaning, if you say final, meaning it will not be revised again, that is the final number for 2005. and we've also compiled preliminary strategy studies for 2006, 2007, and 2008. So we will, by 30 November of this year, bring out a final PSA for 2005 and preliminary PSA for 2006, 2007, and 2008. So meaning by 2008, we'll only now be lagging by 2 years. And next year, we'll bring it up to date to 2009. So we'll now, in the cycle going forward, going into South Africa, we will now only be lagging tourism statistics to the current year by 2 years. So at least we're not in the 5 years cycle anymore. But like I say, the tourism statistical account is guided by all the statistics that you need to compile to. The main one being flying travel, because that's when you confront flying demand in the tourism industry. So like I said, by 30 November of this year, you will have a final 2005, and you will have a prelim 2006, 2007, and 2008 tourism satellite account. So that at least gives you data points to compare as well. As to the data that you have quoted, you said the previous one was 5 or 6%. I think previously, and that's why I did this WTTC comparison, is previously industry, because there wasn't an official figure in South Africa, I think industry quoted the WTTC figure, which the figure that they quoted was the direct and indirect contribution of tourism to the economy. And I think that is the figure that you have to take with most of it. Like I said, the tourism satellite account, of course, it's a satellite account, a national account. So, meaning, I'm taking tourism and I'm equating it to mining, to manufacturing, and it's a national account. National account only measures the direct contribution to the domestic economy. It doesn't measure the indirect and the induced income. So, the 3% that we show you is what is the direct contribution of tourism to the economy. What industry usually has quoted has been direct and indirect effect. I think I've previously seen like an 8.5 or that they're going to go into double digits to 12%, but that is sort of the total effect of tourism in the economy. It's not the national account, which is a direct contribution to tourism in the economy. And I think Victor can maybe add something after the partner there, they're going to go on
quoting the direct and indirect, but there's a thought that I think was direct, but that's causing total confusion. The figure of the WTTC figure, the 8, what has happened previously is that there is a component there which is 5, which is the indirect. Then there is a figure of 3, which is the direct, combined together form the overall, that 8 is inclusive of the direct and what we would then consider indirect. So that's where.
Look, I think this is a very honorable LP. I would be very surprised if someone gave you a number of 5-6% of the direct contribution to the economy, because I've never seen that. Personally, I've never seen that number. I presume that, and this is the danger. I presume that, as my colleagues are saying, that when someone quotes a number, I mean, I know that the MPs are interested in the integrity of a number by a consistency of definition. You could take the stats to say number of 3% of the of GDP. You can get an economics consulting firm who could say, okay, this is direct. What do we mean by direct? We mean that, you know, tourists came in the economy and spent $1 billion, and We measured that $1 billion as the direct, but you could say, well, you know, that $1 billion encouraged the clothing industry. It encouraged people in the informal sector, and these multipliers, as we call them in economics, contributed in total 10% of the industry. You know, the mining industry will tell you that, you know, the mining contribution is 6%, but actual mining contribution is 10 or 12%. So I'm not sure. I mean. I would be enormously surprised if ever there was an official figure or the quote was, this is 5% of GDP, but there was no qualification, is it direct and indirect? The moment we go into indirect, we're going to value judgment. We've got to put much more on the table to say, are you exaggerating or not? So we are on what I call safe territory. We're telling you this is as is. It's a direct contribution. Whether tourism has more multipliers in the economy is a different economics question. On the other issue of frequency of data, I think that as my colleague rightly put it, it took a long time to develop the tourism satellite account. Fortunately, we are able to update it now, and we will update it. But because of the nature of the industry, there's a great deal of other data that this portfolio committee should be looking at to inform policy. And, you know, that is a series of data that comes out from StatsSA, data from Tourism South Africa, data from Home Affairs on migration. So there's a series of other data sets that one can use to measure the currency of the industry. Because of the all-encompassing nature of the satellite account, because it tries to estimate the structure of the industry, it does lag. We often say there's a trade-off between what we call currency, frequency, and structure. So not surprisingly, when we give you the quarterly GDP, we don't give you as much industry detail as opposed to when we give you the annual GDP. The annual GDP, we give you much more industry detail. When we give you the five-year GDP, we give you much more detail. So this is an important issue. Honorable MP, I think your question about how do you actually do this is a very relevant question. And my colleague, Rian, how do you actually, if you go into a supermarket and you know you spend, 50 rand and all the other people who are spent are locals buying, how do you actually separate that? My colleague, Rian, will answer. That's a very valid question. But just one clarification. The tourism contribution to GDP is not bigger than mining. It's the employment that is bigger than mining. So, how are you going to track this? We'll have to wait for the new accounts to come out, Rian will talk about it. In the accommodation series, we do take into consideration, Honorable LP, guest houses. So we take hotels, guest houses. What we don't take into consideration, if I'm correct, is if a tourist comes and stays with you personally, but you're not a guest house, that wouldn't be. So we take the entire spectrum. I think that there's a lot of scope for us to do more work on probably our coverage of guest houses not as wise as it should be. So, but let me just hand over on the question on how you take out tourists from the retail sales.
Just add to the accommodation. The accommodation is basically done for all five accommodations.
In South Africa, so you have it by categories. You'll have hotels, motels. You would have guest houses and guest farms. And you would have caravan sites and camping parks. So it basically covers all paid accommodation within the country. As to how do we account for tourism? Like I said, basically in the supply and use tables, you have all transactions that happen within the country for a specific year. So from the supply and use table, we can get the level of economic activity in the country. In the tourism satellite account, you have about 10 or 11 industries, 10 or 11 services and products that is identified internationally as tourism characteristic. And typically of that would be your accommodation sector, it would be the food and beverages serving industry, your different forms of railway of passenger transport, meaning railway, air, water, and road. So out of the supply and use table, you can see what is the total amount of money that was spent within a given year, let's say for example on, let's go to the retail sector, on groceries. Like I said, I go to a shop and you go to a shop, you spend 50 rand, I spend 50 rand, but I'm a tourist, you're not a tourist. So that gives us the level of expenditure. But now, like I said, that expenditure includes both my expenditure and your expenditure, so it's tourist expenditure and non-tourist expenditure. That's why we have the departure survey and the domestic tourism survey. That shows us what the tourists spend their money on. So now, for example, in the tourism, let's take, for example, the inbound or the departure survey. South African Tourism can give me a breakdown of the people they surveyed, what did they spend their money on. So the survey can show me foreign tourists spent X amount of money on buying groceries. So that gives me a ratio to total expenditure for inbound tourists. But I can then go back to my supply and use table. It gives me my total expenditure on the product. And I can apply that ratio that I got out of the South African Tourism Departure Survey on what the foreign tourists spend their money on. I can apply it to the total output of that specific industry. And that then gives me a split between tourist expenditure and you and me will be my user environment expenditure. And I think for groceries, for food, beverages, and tobacco, it's about 9% of total expenditure on that industry is tourism. 91% is you and me within my user environment spending our money.
Does that apply for right across the provinces? Don't you differentiate Durban and
the tourism satellite account is only aimed nationally. It's for the national economy. I know there is a lot of work going on within the UNWTO for regional statistics and the regional TSA, because tourism authorities provincially want to know how much the tourism contributes in my province. But that's a longer-term goal for the TSA. The TSA will not in the immediate future be able to break it down provincially. As far as I know, the domestic tourism survey does give breakdowns provincially, so that's like sort of an interim measure, but not the TSO in the short term.
Just before you ask the questions, I'm worried about this issue that has been raised by Honorable Kumbo of the currency of information. We're having information for 2005, and then we wanted to project the future, say, another 5 years down the line, and we are having information for the past 5 years. So now we are having this range of 10 years in period in our planning. Don't you have a model where you feature the actual versus the projected? And say, because of this history, because of these ratios, and because of these other factors, therefore, the projected 2010 tourism, whatever, minus the World Cup, for instance, would be this. If you get to it, do you understand me? Don't you have that type of model?
I can understand the concerns about frequent data, but what you're raising goes to the heart of governance about a statistical agency. The Statistical Act and the practice of statistical agencies all over the world is that statistical agencies stay clear of modeling or when there's assumptions. I'll give you an example. I got into serious trouble at the last GDP when the Business Day quoted me in the Third Empire for saying, Dr. Kasim should be congratulated for forecasting what the economy is going to be next year. And obviously the press misunderstood what I said. Because imagine, if we as a statistical agency are forecasting, do we have an incentive to give you a true number if we're forecasting? So, it is critical that any MP, any public member of South African society must be able to see how it derived our number. So it is not the job of the statistical agency to say our projections based on the current supply use table is that we project that the growth of the tourism economy in the next 5 years will be this. But I think there is no reason why the tourism department or any agency can say let's hire a group of experts to in the absence of frequent data to project, and these projections could be very reliable. So there's no reason why economists, as opposed to an official statistical agency, cannot do this. Because so I think that's the first point. The second point is that we are going to update it. So Rian, in November?
In
November this year, we'll have a 2008.
That will be final 2005 and then preliminary 2006.
Yeah. So we say, so.
And I remember because
let me tell you why it's important to understand it's not final. Data gets revised because of the nature of data. I'll give you a simple example. When we estimate the quarterly GDP, the estimate of the quarterly GDP is based on what firms tell us about their GDP. So firms say, you go to a big firm and the firm says, my sales grew 1% quarter to quarter. When you go back a year later, and you collect the entire data of the firm, the firm says, sorry, we made it. That is preliminary. Now our financial accounts are audited, actually grew 1.2%. So it is very important to give preliminary, because as new data comes along, as time allows you to fix up past data, you then finalize it. But it's also important to remember that when we say preliminary, we believe that the revisions are very small, not to change the message for policy. So when you say, you know, when you say preliminary and final, it's the nature of accuracy we operate with. We say, you know, this is 3%, but on the basis of new data in retrospect that has come up, this is what, same with government. We give you government numbers, but a year later we get the consolidated government accounts and we have to revise. So this notion of preliminary and final is really based on, we are at the mercy of people who give us data. We are at the mercy of, and so that is really, when we say preliminary and final, it's important to bear that in mind. If our final and preliminary are so different, then you have you should raise the question, was your preliminary a useful number in the first place? So if you go back, if someone wants to do work and say, let me look at the GDPs and what your preliminary and finals were, you find actually very small. But it's important, because the cumulative effect of not fixing up these small differences can be quite great later on. So that's what we really mean. We're just cautious about saying, the more frequent the data, the more there is scope to revise, because people give you data very quickly. Similarly, when we revise, you know, we do for the consumer price index, every 5 years we revise the CPI basket, and many of you may know the CPI basket often makes the headlines. But you ask yourself the question, why every 5 years? Think about it. We go to 30,000 households and we ask households 100 questions. What did you buy? How often did you buy? What do you earn? What do you earn from your property you own? When did you buy your car? Was it a used car? Was it a second? These are 100 questions we ask households. We can't kill households every year with this kind of data. So, you know, once we get this data, we revise, because we got a very detailed question. So that is the nature of preliminary and final.
I did test the universities. I have a little bit of sympathy for the presenters, but I'm still worried. You know, Honorable Njobe asked about the contribution to the economy from tourism vis-a-vis gold mining. And she was answered that, in fact, it's only in employment, please correct me if I'm wrong, that tourism outstrips gold mining. But you see, this is a problem when we don't have an agreed set of statistics, because I've heard the minister say on more than one occasion that tourism actually contributes more to the economy than gold mining. I mean, that is a fact. I mean, there's not a single person in this committee meeting and shaking, they're all nodding. So why is it that we have one understanding of the statistic and the presenters have another? I mean, that just worries me, because, as I said, how can we credibly propose policies, meaningfully discuss the issues in this committee, if we all on a different page to reality? So I just put that down as something I'm now getting very concerned about. I accept the explanation about the 5% and the 8% and the 3%, and that does seem to make sense. And I think part of the problem is that people quote these percentages without qualifying, is it direct or indirect? So, I mean, there again, I think a standardization would help. But may I just ask a question to you, Chairperson, on this whole issue of direct and indirect? Because it seems to me there's only one GDP figure. There's only one GDP figure. And for any industry to say, or for any statistics to be produced, saying this is a direct contribution and that's the indirect contribution, if every industry, as it was intimated, is also saying their indirect contribution is greater, well then it can't be, because the figures still have to add up to the same thing. So essentially what I think you were saying, I'd just like you to correct me. One industry has an indirect contribution which is greater than the direct contribution. There must also be another industry whose direct contribution, in fact, includes indirect contributions from a second one. It must be, otherwise you'd have two GDP figures. You can't have everyone having a greater one. Now, I mean, the last statistic we did get was tourism's total contribution, in other words, direct and indirect contribution to the economy, which, as I recall, was 2008. correct me if I'm wrong, Chair, 189 billion rand. Okay? 189 billion rand. Is that your understanding? Are we talking the same language on that figure at least? Because that's something which preceded the work done on the satellite account.
Come on, Joanne.
Yeah, Chairperson, actually, Honorable Kumbo has actually touched on my point because I was also going to say something similar, but to say to the members of the department that for certain facts, we as committee members, we depend on your own research. And it's not only the minister who has repeated this statement about tourism surpassing mining in its contribution to the GDP, but also many other presenters who have come here, you know, they have confirmed. If you go through our documents, the documents that you get from the department, you'll always find the statement. And for me, it has made us proud, you know, that tourism has contributing so much to the GDP of the country. So what I would say perhaps is maybe there's some maybe lack of coordination somewhere in terms of the information we get from the department. So I think it will be up to them, up to today's presenters, for instance, to go back and check whether what we are saying has actually been said by the department. And if that is the case, then it's up to them to solve the problem. But what we want is the facts, true facts, so that when we quote them, you know what we are quoting. And again, you know, this last presentation here, it is this thing that once all the tables of the TSA have been completed, we will be able to measure. And the first point there is we will be able to measure tourism contribution to gross domestic product. But it's already been measured. And we are saying here we will still be able to measure it. So I think that that's a question of, you know, the department now coordinating its facts. As far as we are concerned, all we want here is the correct facts and correct research, because we use that. We use that also to enhance our own contribution towards the work of the department and the community. Otherwise, I must say, I still find it very interesting. I find it very interesting, I must say. This thing about the statistics on tourism. And I think the idea that we have had this presentation, the idea itself, in my opinion, is quite good. Because, as I say, we keep on, you know, quoting these things, but we mustn't just be like parents, not knowing how these things are obtained. But what we are trying to show us today is how you obtain these figures, this information about tourism, this contribution, how many people came, what they spend, what we expect them to spend, and so on and so forth. But like with the Kroonbok, I would also like that, you know, as soon as it is possible, we have the statistics for the World Cup, because it was so publicized, and we are all looking forward to how much really this tourism came out of the World Cup. And I think, as we have put it correctly, so for us to compare that with the budget, to compare it with the expenditure, therefore to answer the question, what is worth it, we see that. We still have to answer that question. So we need that information. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chief. I just want to ask, bearing in mind the last presentation we had from Rasheen Singh, about the new definition of what a tourist is, are these figures that have been compiled for us today based on the old definition or the new definition? Because now, I think we do need to know that. Thank you.
It's Dr. Rashad Kasim. From tourism, okay. But I think pause a bit and look at this information from the minister. The source of that information, if I'm not mistaken, was the Tourism Business Council of South Africa. And the date of the data was 2008. If we go, let us go back to our documents, because here now we are having this document, and then it is draft 2005. Now, Stats South Africa has told us that this is the latest set of statistics according to them. But we may find that the minister is using information from Tourism Business Council of South Africa, which in turn uses information perhaps from World Business Tourism Council or something like that. So let us be cautious and compare what compares, apples with apples, and so forth. If you get what I mean, without doubting your input, but I think we've got to look at the sources as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Sheng. I want to acknowledge that we do note a call for standardization, and that's very important. We will make sure that is taken into account. If I may, just on some of the previous address, particularly on the issue of mining, what was referred to previously was not tourism being greater than mining, if I was to put it. It is the growth of tourism versus the mining, which was in the complete decline. So you might be talking about, in terms of the equals, the actions, if I was to put it that way, it might be that, like what Dr. Kasim has referred to, there was a time gold mining was in a complete decline. Losses of jobs from those mines and so on and so forth. But at that very same time, there was a growth in tourism. And in terms of tourism growing, but I don't want to go into the actual statement because I don't have it in front of me. But what I'm just saying is that in terms of the growth of tourism, it has been growing at a rate which was higher than the growth rate of gold mining. The other aspect which Honorable Manjove spoke to in terms of the 2010, and Honorable Gombo also spoke to it, the 2010, just to share, Honorable Chair, what we're doing currently, the statistics South Africa that is going to look at how many people came here and so on, and they will release that jointly after they've worked with Home Affairs. But what we are also looking at from the department side is what it did from the supply side. If we were to look at the hotels, there were many hotels that were actually built. If we were to look at some of the SMEs, lessons that came from the SMEs in terms of measures were not really a very good picture specifically for that. But there are other things that we have also started to pick up because we have had sessions with the provinces trying to put together this report jointly. And when we were looking at those, some of the things that we're beginning to pick up is that...
Excuse me, let us just switch off our phones, please. Okay, you can go on.
Some of the things that we're picking up is that some provinces are telling us that in and around the host city, they were fully booked for the days of the bigger games and so on. And this was not even through match. It was purely people that wanted to go into that particular establishment and they stayed there and so on. So we are looking at all these things, but our main interest is, once we've got all these lessons that came from the World Cup, what does it mean for possible future? future events that the country might be wanting to host? Are we going to be able to address issues that are pertinent to the SMEs? Are we going to? So we want those lessons, and we want to be able to say, is the level of investment that we've made, for instance, what we should be making? Should it be more? Should it be less? We don't know. We are going to be able to answer those particular questions once we have finished what we're actually busy with now. But in terms of how many people came here and all those aspects, that will be dealt with by Statistics of Africa.
Yeah. I should be addressing that question, Dr. Kaya.
It's a separate question. I'm answering some of the questions. Not the same issue.
Honorable,
the question on direct and indirect is very incisive. It is true that the sum of indirect contributions can't be more than the GDP. So I think what happens is that when economists measure the indirect contribution, they're basically trying to measure what forward and backward linkage does a particular industry have. So the debate is about allocation within the GDP, as opposed to, because as you rightly say, every industry has an indirect contribution, so you can't take the sum of it all. So the real question about indirect is that if the tourism industry gave birth to another industry, so the hotel accommodation gave birth to catering services, the debate is, you know, how much of that catering services, how much jobs did that catering services industry create? But we measure that catering service separately in the GDP. So I think it's all about how you measure the linkages. It's, and I think that's what the, you know, what the economic literature says. So by no means is a indirect contribution a measurement. It's a statement about what you measure to what you say the linkages are of a particular industry. It's not the sum of all GDP.
Thanks, Chair. I've been covered, but what is still ringing in my mind or still confusing me is that I wanted to know the stats SA. Do they sometimes link their stats with the home affairs? Because I think if they are not sometimes comparing, will be having this inconsistency numbers, saying the other one will be saying we've got so many people who come to South Africa based on business on what. So I think I'm a little bit lost there.
Yeah, in fact, DDG encouraged us to invite Home Affairs as well to get their side. But over to you, Dr. Rashad Kassim.
One of the issues that our statistics in general often says is that, you know, we're not implementing the Statistics Act. You know, implementing the Statistics Act means that Stats South Africa, as the official producer of official statistics, must certify and evaluate all data that comes out from other government departments. So I think you know, whether this is in tourism statistics, whether it's in mortality statistics, and so on. So I know that there's an initiative going on at the moment between Stats South Africa under the leadership of my colleague DDG Social Statistics Kapiwe Masitang and Home Affairs on the tourism data. So I think it doesn't bode well for members here when different departments give different numbers. So I think it's important to also recognize that our numbers actually come from Home Affairs. So, you know, there are two things that inform statistics. One is direct collection by Stats SA, and the other is administrative data by other government departments. So our tourism arrivals is based on Home Affairs data. So I guess the real question is, you know, do we have the comfort and confidence in Home Affairs data? Do we engage Home Affairs on whether the data is done properly? So that is the process that I think needs to be followed through.
Okay, at this point, Let us break. Oh, before we break, I just wanted us to have about five minutes break. because there's tea, but you can ask your question.
It's a question whether South African tourism has used the same definition.
No, that's 189 billion,
that's 2009. I can't ask. Like I said, we have only published up to 2005, but we're now working on 6, 7, and 8. So I can't comment on a figure I haven't seen yet. No.
Honorable Chair, Honorable Corporal, the main source in the absence of current data from Statistics South Africa happens most of the time to be the WTTC. And that's where most of that figure, such figures that we quote sometimes, would be coming from. Globally, most people are using that in the absence of the current immediate figures that could be used.
Yeah, I don't think that there is a material difference. I think it's the question of timing. And perhaps, I do not know, in science there is a margin of error. When we talk about margins of error, I don't think we are differing if we take them into account. Okay. Let us then have the tea for 5 minutes and then come back.
Do they call you to do something?
No, they call me when they're unsure.
That's very fast.
Yeah, they ask me if I'm available.
And so you do the buying, selling stuff for
full time.
I think we can stop it.
Okay. To supplement the payment of monthly music tickets.
Oh, okay. So it's something you've been doing for a long time.
For a long, yeah. Yeah. This is now it's a bit more formalized, going to auctions and stuff. You know?
Okay, so it's a day job now.
Yeah. Keeping your eyes open, your ears
being
open.
Being self-employed doesn't advance.
It does. There's a lot of disadvantages as well.
You don't have medical aid,
everything, yeah. Easier. And some days, things run dry. You know, like, you took 2 days to go to an auction somewhere in Worcester. Suddenly, I'm a lot of money to get the SMS to the auction camp. You know what I'm saying? So it throws you out.
But you also take a lot of, in the self-employed, you take on the risk yourself.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bought a lot of stuff that didn't work, or to buy it, puts to it. Sometimes the car looks wonderful, go there, you put out the car, later you're the non-runner.
What type of, since you're talking about cars, I was curious about what your product is.
Mainly commercial.
I know somebody that's looking for a car.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a lot of money. So if you are out there and you are looking, you
know, what is she looking for? Okay, give me the budget.
Okay, I should find out what her. I should find it very, very little. Okay, she's probably under 20,000.
My friend actually told me last night. He told me the same thing. He's looking for a car around 15,000 for his manager who's coming late to work. I told him, sure, that's a lot of money.
Well, you see, anything under that, and I think ideally it's something in the region of 10,000. He works for me, doesn't he?
Oh.
He looks after my kids. I have a third car, so I have a car myself.
Oh.
I'm a third car.
I'm finding it easy to make a report on you.
Yes, I am.
Otherwise, you get lost in the
not a memorable bar.
So she's using the third.
She's using the third lock as well for the kids. She takes up to school in the morning, she's been up in the afternoon. But ideally, she should have her own car. Not that I mind her using my car. She works weekends as well. Not for me. She looks at other people in the evening. She needs her own car for the day. She doesn't do that. I used to be the clinic they use my car on the weekend.
What is the third car?
It's 1990.
Oh, the boxy.
The boxy. Oh, lovely car. Yeah. Lovely car. My first car that I fell in love with was one of those. I had a car before that. I had a two-door one like that.
Okay.
All the options except metallic plate because it was white.
Oh,
yeah, the first seat, leather, no work. Yes. You know, and I had that car before I had kids, and then because it was a two-door, I could handle two kids and putting them in the car and legs and so we bought this one for about 16,000, but what we did is we bought one for about 18,000 for Congress that was from Rabo.
Oh, wow.
So the Congress looked after this. It was the first car he had from university days. But being in the countryside, we got quite damaged. So there was a fine for the thing. But with that car, I could never use a weekend. And 3 years ago, she snatched the car.
Oh,
over Easter weekend. No, as in it was a rifle. As in she went into a phone. 3 o'clock in the morning, we had a meeting with the other So, we were lucky because we had two bottles of it in that week. We got another one. We got another place. So, we actually cheaper. You know, it's not so easy. It's not going to last much longer. But some of them will come out with the kids are old enough. If you need to talk, you do anything in the
I'm going to tell you now on this
I'm
in the presidency. In the presidency. Okay.
We are the same important.
You know what, boss? You want to know what happened there?
She's come to the port to
check
on
her. That's topical.
Automatic spotless for 14.
My white one, it was stunning. It was a magic. It was just amazing. I had it for about 5 years, 5 or 6 years, and then the license came.
But sometimes you want it all gone if you had it.
Yeah, give her a club. What else do you find?
Very high in these kinds of
things. The people that make songs.
No,
we are
seekers. And
TVs.
What about the government storage? I once bought a TV at the auction. So I was 15 minutes in my car. I put it in the garage and put it off. The point she was in the middle of water out of my car.
Okay, so you have the advantage of going to auctions and picking up the stuff and that's being able to start for them. You have the stuff here for the
transport. Yeah, but sometimes the place is stored. But sometimes you don't have the stock as easily as you think you need, you know? Now you've got the place full, even to a new auction. You know, so you need a rotation.
How long do you think you're going to keep doing this? That's the thing, you're in the sliding.
My other children, he's the one in the garage. He's the one in the
sort of
pathway.
But I know law firms these days are a bit different to back in the 90s and the 80s because they're very focused on the bottom line.
Your contribution,
Okay, let us continue. We are having about 45 minutes left. Let us continue with our questions if there are still any.
The current distribution is that domestic tourism contributes 52% and inbound tourism 48% to our total tourism gross value added.
So the way going forward is, are you going to maintain the status quo of doing this thing every 5 hours, or are there going to be improvements, and then if so, what improvements? Because now, you see, in as much as it has got to be scientific, it has got to be fairly current for users. And I do understand that the users have got to do their own protections. But wouldn't it assist perhaps to say in the last 5 years these are the trends we are seeing, in the last 10 years these are the trends, so that perhaps users then can look at the trend, 5 year trend, 10 year trend, 20 year trend, that type of assistance, and going on, or perhaps because users really do not want to go and dig that information themselves. Perhaps I think
it would be better. But I do not know whether perhaps you can say anything with regard to that. Yes, Andrew.
Yeah. I would ask the department whether you are happy with the achievement, that the percentage that you have quoted for us. I'm sorry, in the strategic document, there is something that says you do intend to improve. And if so, you have a target. We have a target. This is about domestic tourism. Because one feels that there is still a lot of potential for domestic tourism in this country. Usually say South Africans do travel quite a lot within the country, but they are not necessarily tourists. I'm speaking in particular about, I know there's a culture in the black community. They travel a lot. They travel a lot, although it may be seasonal, but they travel a lot. But they are not necessarily tourists. So is there a way in which we can turn this around and also encourage them to be tourists? That's why I'm asking whether you feel that there is a room for improvement, and if there is room for improvement, do we have a target or something?
If I can speak not so much in my capacity as a statistician, but as an analyst, I mean, I think for me personally, if there's one industry that kind of bore the brunt of apartheid, it's really the tourism industry in two ways. One is many foreign tourists and principals did not come to South Africa. The second is many people who often had the money to be tourists could not actually exercise being a tourist. So I think, you know, for me, I have no doubt in my mind that it's one industry that's going to pick up phenomenally in the post-apartheid South Africa would be the tourism industry, and increasingly, when we look at our as I mentioned earlier, we do income and expenditure surveys, and it is interesting to see how the behavior of expenditure in different racial groups is changing. So increasingly, you're seeing in the black population group increasing expenditure on tourism-related activity. You're seeing it more in the middle class, and so on. So certainly, it goes back to the question, Chair, that you raised, that I think there's lots of other interesting information that this committee can actually get, which is not directly related to the tourism satellite account. So, for example, it may be interesting to look at in our net income and expenditure survey, which is currently being done at the moment, to see who spends on tourism and what they spend on tourism. You know, we're very happy to present those results. As far as trends are concerned, it's difficult to give you trends of satellite accounts. You know, traditionally we have 10 satellite accounts, we can. But what we can give you trends on is, you know, what has happened to the accommodation industry over a period of time? What has happened to the changing composition of tourism arrivals over a period of time? Yeah, those are things that, you know, is within the realm of possibility.
Thank you. Honorable Chair, we are still in the process of finalizing the strategy, not yet approved as such. Now, domestic tourism, even in the consultations, there was a message just to say that we got 37,000 written comments for the strategy. Domestic tourism, in most of the comments that related to it, would then go for, the message is the same. This needs to be the backbone of the industry. There's also a message that comes across that says, when we talk about risk mitigation in the sector broadly, domestic tourism will be at the core of that. If you've got a volcanic ash in Iceland, domestic tourism becomes quite critical. SARS virus and people are not traveling around the world, domestic tourism becomes critical. But having said that, One of the other things that in the preliminary, in the environmental scan of what is in the current domestic tourism environment, we picked up that if you were to look at, how do I refer to this? If you were to look at the current segments within the domestic tourism, the focus has largely been in the upper middle class. Now, those people are able to access these products sometimes with even less marketing, if I was to put it in that kind of context. This is preaching to the converted. These are people that would have taken a trip regardless. But there is a bulk of people that actually are in the lower middle class. And these people who actually earn somewhat a modest income, if I was to put it that way, they constitute a large number of the working population of South Africa. Now, how do we reach out to those, and how do we actually make sure that these products that are related to that particular market? Bulk of those, you're talking about policemen, you're talking about teachers. The larger segment of civil service is actually within that particular bracket. Now, how do we get to those? And we are actually, these are the issues that are now coming into the strategy in these spaces. We're actually integrating some of these comments that are coming through. We started off with a 12% increase in domestic tourism, and we're looking at almost increasing up to 9 million or so year on year, getting up to 45 million by 2015. But these are things that we're going to have to really look very deep into, look at the resources, because we'll have an implementation plan for the strategy that says, yes, this we can do, and the resource pool will be coming from this, and we need to pull also private sector into this to be able to say what sort of product investment is going to be there and so on and so forth. So there is quite some focus, Honorable Angel, in terms of where domestic tourism should go and how should it be a pillar, main pillar of actually strengthening the tourism strategy overall.
Thank you very much. Any closing of comments from Dr. Rashad Kassim?
Nothing from my side. Thank you.
Nothing from the side of the satellite. Then Dr. Rashad Kassim. Then Dr. Victor Tarame.
Honorable Chair, we just appreciate that StateSA has now been formally introduced to the committee, and we will be working with them quite a lot going forward. In almost a month time or so, there is a meeting that is scheduled for the Statistician in general with the DG and the DG of Home Affairs. So it is ongoing work throughout, but ultimately what we want is the quality of our statistics, but also making sure that we standardize. The call was very clear and we have noted.
Doctor,
I'd like to make one comment, sorry, Honorable Chair. I mean, I think that the one thing that is particularly important for Statistics South Africa is that I think that South Africa's biggest friend would be parliamentarians, because a large part of the statistical system is to put pressure on other departments to get data, to improve on the way they collect their data and so on. So it's a great opportunity for us to build alliances with several portfolio committees so that we can understand the needs of parliamentarians, and parliamentarians can back us up if need be to kind of make sure we can get good data and business data from other departments. So it's great to be venturing beyond our own portfolio committee to this portfolio committee.
Thanks. I think we realize that there is much more to Stats South Africa, and then we realize that there needs to be much more dialogue between statistics users and the yeah, generators yeah. Of statistics for reliability. And then we have realized that we've got to do much more as well to deal and protect the integrity of the institutions that generate information that we use in order to plan. And then we have learned that we need more accurate information, which is much more current. But we realized that there were problems. But because there are problems and there are expectations, the expectations of the users seem to be a little different from the expectations of the generators. That means then there has to be an ongoing dialogue between the generators of the data and the users of the data. And we have learned that, and then that being a lesson, I think is going to direct our way going forward with our interaction with SA South Africa and the department in order to make South Africa a better tourist destination and a more prosperous nation. But we thank you very, very much for your hard and smart work. It may be defective here and there, but we value your contribution. Thank you very much. So we then have we can release you now, but if you are comfortable, you can sit with us, but we are discussing now domestic business, in-house matters. The first area is around the summit. We had planned to have our summit on the 12th and 13th of this month, that is today and tomorrow, in order for us to deepen our insights in order to be in a position to or do our work better, which is oversight and, secondly, public participation. But we had problems. The main problem, amongst others, was uncertainty. We kept on getting different responses from the office of the House Chairperson, making proposals even at about 2 weeks ago, saying that it was not clear now whether the finances they would be in a position to finance that unless we had a joint meeting with the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture. So now we did not have any common purpose with the department, the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture. We've got our mandate, and our mandate was to have the summit was from our strategy meeting. So now the objectives of the Arts and Culture Portfolio Committee could have been much different, but we did not have any time to sit together and work out a common purpose. You can't just jump and say you are going to have a joint meeting. We had invited the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture in as much as we had invited Department of Transport, Police, and so forth, because they are affected. But to say that we've got to have a joint meeting is something different, because you've got to sit down with somebody who wants a joint meeting and strategize and workshop together. That was one of the problems. The second problem was that the minister and the deputy minister could not attend. Now, given that we were going to invite senior stakeholders, major stakeholders in the industry, like FEDASA, Tourism Business Council, and so forth, it would look odd not to have stakeholders like the ministers, the minister and the deputy minister, who could possibly end up with reports saying that the minister and deputy minister are disinterested or something like that. And thirdly, we had invited the president. The president came back last week saying exactly when the meeting is going to be. But at that stage, we had decided that we are cancelling the meeting. The office of the House chairperson had said that they had written a letter to the speaker saying that no, the president should not be invited. We should invite the line minister. We invited
the president precisely because one of the major stakeholders, the Tourism Business Council, in this committee meeting said they would like to have much more visibility and therefore they would like the president to be part of it. So I do not know what the rule of the president is.
bilateral agreement. Bilateral agreement between the government of South Africa and Kenya and the government of South Africa and Egypt on areas of tourism. If you look at it clearly, if you look at it carefully, you'll see that Egypt is endowed with a lot of cultural and heritage tourism. And then Kenya has got a lot of attractions in the form of animals, that is biodiversity, the serendipity, migration, and lions in the field and so forth. Those are the types of attractions they are having. And then indigenous people as well, I think they are much more genuine, let me say genuine, authentic than we have in South Africa. without intending to offend anyone, but I think when you look at on your TV and then you see all those people jumping in the family, what are they called? Maasai people, yes, Maasai people. Their culture is much more preserved than most cultures in South Africa. South Africa. Now, I don't know what South Africa is coming with to him. Is it coming with? So these are the things, but it is the thing to be discussing as a committee to be debate about, Jerry.
This is entailed in terms of section 231, subsection 3 of the Constitution. So in other words, it means it's referred to the committee for information purposes. The committee is not required to report to the National Assembly. However, what we can do as a committee, if we want, we can call the department just to give us a briefing on these two agreements, so that as a committee we could understand the benefits of these two agreements, the two South Africa, and also what we also offered as a country, and see where exactly in our program for the first term we can squeeze that briefing. Otherwise, as it stands now, it's referred to the committee. For information purposes, the committee is not required to report it to the National Assembly on this agreement.
Yeah, what comes to me is this: are these people not our competitors? Is this thing not going to threaten our current tourism as such? Have we taken enough care to protect our own tourism? If you get my point. I mean, it's good to look after the whole of Africa. At the same time, we started home. But let's come to it.
Yeah, I just want to comment on Jerry's comment also. But we sometimes listen to certain comments in the same request in Parliament.
Registered Yeah, because this has come from the executive, but now you are taking it to Parliament. The ideas, the commission, the voters agreement, we want you, Parliament, to support it. And then whatever then comes out of the Parliament, and the
deliberate on it after reading what is here.
because without reading the content of this, then I don't think we can debate whether we've got to take any action either way. In our program, let us put it, say, for either next week or the other one, just the committee. First, we can just make a proposal and then move and the second. And then if there's a counter move, then somebody counter motion, then we give a little, then we call the department and then the proposal. Would that be okay with all of us? If we go down, we call the department. Then the last item is closure. Is there any motion on closure? Okay, but thank you very much for our participation. It was a nice one. But I think what we've got to do is that we've got to have this meeting next year as well. And see how after this interaction they have taken the matter for assessing the issue of the satellite and the state. Because especially given the fact that this time last year our information was that it cost 10 million dollars because of it, but now it has been differently estimated to about 7.5 or 8 million dollars. So we've got to look at that and find out next year whether the heads that we had have been removed and then what improvements have been introduced. But otherwise, thank you very much.